The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." The Gospel of the Lord. Lori will now take the children out to do the children's message. So please follow Lori. Thank you, Lori. Wind and fire. Those two things, when they come together, can be a powerful and sometimes deadly combination. We need only recall the images that we've seen these past 2 weeks on our televisions or on the internet. What began as a small flame, but pushed by the winds, soon threatened the entire city of Fort McMurray, forcing the evacuation of all of its residents, over 80,000 of them. By now, that same fire, continually pushed by the wind, has consumed 250,000 hectares. It's difficult for us to forget those images that we've seen. Whole neighborhoods destroyed. What used to be houses, now only charred foundations remaining. Burnt out bodies of trucks and cars that were abandoned. Who can forget those lines of vehicles driving through what seemed to be a tunnel of fire and smoke, trying to escape, trying to get away to safety? We saw those flames engulfing the trees, going high into the air. We saw the clouds billowing up there, the clouds of smoke. Water bombers and helicopters were seen dropping water and fire retardant in what seemed to be a futile effort to stop this fire. It's no wonder that Fire Chief Darby Allen called it the beast. Fire and wind, those two in combination become a powerful force. and in this case, a very destructive force. Today we celebrate the day of Pentecost, and we heard the writer of Acts describe that first event on that first Pentecost. He wrote, "And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, divided tongues, as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them." Wind and fire. It sounds like something dramatic was happening there too. And indeed it was. It was the coming of the promised Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that Jesus had spoken of to his disciples before he left them. And it was indeed the birth of the church that took place on that first Pentecost. I remember one of the first Bibles I had. I think it was given to me by my grandparents for my confirmation. That Bible contained reproductions of paintings interleaved between some of the pages of that Bible, trying to depict and to show some of the events that were described there. And I still remember the painting from Pentecost. And I think the artist did a very poor job of depicting that event. I think he missed the point because he had images of polite-looking tongues of fire dancing through the air, with a few of them lining on people's heads who were just sitting there very calmly. But I don't think that's what the first Pentecost was like. It was a powerful event. It was like that beast of Fort McMurray, because the Spirit here, the Spirit of God, was being poured out upon those people who were gathered there in that place. And that Spirit came to shake things up. Like the fire of Fort McMurray, who knew where it would blow? A little while ago, we prayed the prayer of the day. We said, "By your Holy Spirit, kindle in us the fire of your love, empowering us, empowering our lives for service, and our tongues for praise." I wonder if we really know what we prayed when we prayed that prayer. I wonder if we're prepared for the consequences when that prayer is answered. Do we realize that when we make that request, we are playing with fire? The author Annie Dillard, in her book, Teaching a Stone to Talk, writes, "Does anyone have the foggiest idea what sort of power we so blithely invoke? Or, as I suspect, does no one believe a word of it? The churches are children playing on the floor with their chemistry sets, mixing up a batch of TNT to kill a Sunday morning." She goes on to say, "It is madness to wear ladies' straw hats and velvet hats to church. We should all be wearing crash helmets. Ushers should issue life preservers and flares. They should lash us to our pews." Maybe we shouldn't be praying this prayer if we don't want that to happen, if we don't want our hearts and our lives to be changed. Because that's what the Spirit does. That's what the Spirit did to those folks on that first Pentecost who were gathered there in that place all by themselves. They were suddenly filled with the Spirit, and they began to share the good news. In fact, we are told later in the second chapter of Acts that on that day, that first Pentecost, 3,000 people were baptized after hearing Peter's sermon. God was at work there on that first Pentecost. God was at work there equipping those people to communicate about God. And that coming of the Holy Spirit wasn't just a one-time event. Again and again throughout the book of Acts, we are told that the Spirit came upon the disciples. The Spirit was poured out upon them. They were filled with the Spirit. And in the same way, we need to be refilled with the Spirit, that Spirit that came to us in our baptism. And so we gather weekly. We gather to hear the word. We come to the altar to eat and to drink the bread and the wine, to receive the body and blood of Christ. And then we are filled. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. Here God reminds us that we are forgiven and precious children of God. Here God equips us with the Spirit's power. That same Spirit who came to the disciples as they were gathered there, who gave birth to the church on that first Pentecost, that same Spirit continues to prod and cajole and move us forward and outward. Just when we get settled down and become comfortable with the status quo, there comes a rush of wind or a still small voice, a breath of fresh air pushing us out into the world. The Spirit comes to shake things up, reminding us that we have work to do, that we have a message to proclaim, calling us to reach out to help those who have been driven from their homes, whether that be from Fort McMurray or from Syria or from some other place in the world. The Spirit is still at work today. Sometimes the Spirit brings us to unexpected and unexpected places and unexpected grace. The Spirit nudges us to new horizons. The church of today is not the same as the church of our grandparents. The Spirit has been working among us, pushing us to become more open, more welcoming, more inclusive. Things begin to happen when we're open to where the Spirit moves us. That's why calling upon the Spirit is like playing with fire. The Spirit changes us. The Spirit empowers us. The Spirit makes us possible for us to do things that we never thought possible. Sometimes we refer to the Spirit as the Comforter. Christ said that he was sending the Advocate to be with his disciples. Sometimes we call him the Comforter. And the Spirit does bring comfort and solace to us. But other times, the Spirit lights a fire under us. There are times when the Spirit's like a gentle breeze that enlivens and refreshes us. But there are also times when the Spirit is like the rush of a violent wind, like a hurricane that turns us and the world around us upside down. On Pentecost, God's promised Spirit descended on all of those people who were gathered in that place. At our baptism, the Spirit descended upon us. And that Spirit wants to work in you, in all of us, to make us a church that is living, a church that is renewed, a church that is refreshed, a church that is revitalized to do God's work. The Spirit wants us to be the church, ready with the gospel, ready to draw all people into the warmth of God's presence. Spirit invades our lives with God's powerful word of grace, comes to equip us and to energize us for ministry. The Spirit comes to get us moving. The Holy Spirit continues the ministry of Christ through us, the ministry of salvation, ministry of hope, ministry of renewal and refreshment, a ministry of caring, a ministry of reaching out in love and in action. And so we sing, Spirit of restlessness, stir us from placidness. Do you really want to sing that? More importantly, are you ready for the consequences of that? Amen.